Bowers, I almost called you Spangle. Sorry.
That's all right.
Spangle?
Sorry, that's a really big insult.
I know. I don't. I have way higher T.
Are we recording?
Oh, yeah.
Echo.
Echo. Echo.
Yes, we are recording. I always leave
Pedro
that.
Borbone.
I always leave that on.
Pedro Borbone.
That that's good there.
Okay. I'm so glad Bowers is here.
Why is that?
I mean, because of I have a feeling. How many trips to Las Vegas have you taken?
Oh, gosh.
Eight,
yes.
Maybe
eight.
Yes. Eight.
I'm 43 and I'm going for the first time next week.
Ooh, nice. Okay. Yes.
Pussy.
I know.
Yeah.
Gonna get some.
Crushing that puss.
Okay. Rule number one, any beautiful woman that comes and talks to you for no reason is a hooker. Just
sure.
Know that.
No, I kind of know that already.
You do not. You do not. Yeah,
oh,
right?
I kind of know that. I kind of know that already.
Yeah, I was in Broadway one time, and this hooker passed me, and I was telling my buddies about that. I go, how'd you know it was a hooker? Because when she walked by, she went, damn. Non-hooker girls never say that to me.
And all the best-looking prostitutes are most often police people, police women, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
Well,
wait,
that's just a casual survey on my part.
So. Now, you know how to discern whether she's a prostitute or a cop, right?
Go.
Are you a cop?
No, yeah. That's not real. But what you ask them to do is nude modeling, which is not illegal, and no cop will let her take naked pictures.
Oh, see, sure, you're right. This is so perfect that Bowers is here.
Yeah.
So you say, I don't want to have sex with you. I'd like to do some nude modeling. I'm a photographer. I'll pay you $200 for you to be naked in my hotel room so I can take the pictures. And when you go up to the hotel room and you take the pictures, if she gets naked, she's a hooker. And you go, hey, how about for an extra $300? We, you know.
Fody O'Dell.
Yeah.
I've been wanting. Oh, sorry. I've been wanting to. I've been wanting to go back to Vegas again. And my dream is to have me and Chad Daniels and Tommy Jonigan and a bunch of other comedian buddies.
Yeah.
To go out there in like the third or fourth week of the NFL season.
Mm.
Maybe Vibber. Mm. Maybe Hoffy. Maybe Josh Arnold. I don't know. And just hang out and bet the games. You know,
That'd be fun, try not to.
Lose about. I used to go out there and play dice all the time. I lived in San Diego, and we'd drive over. We lived in San Diego for 6 months, and I bet we went to Vegas three times.
Wow.
It was just awful.
Get out of the house.
Just to. Yeah, that might have been true. Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
That was
Vegas awful. Is fun. So the couple pieces of advice I have for Vegas is one. Upgrade to a suite. Are you in a suite or are you in a regular dumb room?
I have nothing to do with it. Actually,
don't
probably just a plain old dumb room.
Now, Chris.
It's Bowers.
Bowers, I get the feeling that you're down on regular rooms. Is that right?
Well, no. The thing is, here's the thing. If you're in a regular dumb room,
right,
you don't want to be in it, so you're out of it. And when you're out of it, you're spending money.
Oh,
every minute
yeah.
you're out
That's
of your
idea.
Room, you're spending money. Okay.
Sure.
So if you have a room with a coffee table and a couch where you can bring and a fridge where you
right.
can go buy some drinks, put them
right.
in your fridge, hang out for 3 hours during the day, so you're not gambling, you're not getting hookers, you're in your room, you're doing regular stuff, right?
I don't know how he does it. He always sounds like he's making sense.
Do you take the hooker back to your room?
I've actually only – well, I did have a hooker once, but I did – that's a fun story that I have a crazy Vegas story if you guys want to. I'll tell a crazy –
Go, man.
Yes. Yes.
So
I need to set a bar. So, you know me, I like to always outdo people.
Yeah, well, here you go. So I went to Vegas for a bachelor party. And there were four of us, and it was me, my buddy Ed, my buddy Little, and my buddy Trevor. It was Trevor's bachelor party.
How'd Little get his name?
His name's Kerry Little.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought he was like a giant.
But he's huge, right?
Yeah.
He was like 5'8" when he was 10, and he never grew again. So he's like, so he's one of those guys. He was like the king of basketball and football in eighth grade, and then never
peaked too early.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So
that's a classic story.
Yeah.
So there you are in Vegas.
So we're there in Vegas, and we're at Harrah's outdoor bar, which is a nice little place. And I go to the bar, and I get four shots of Jaeger, four Miller Lights, and a Red Bull, and it was $78.
Yeah.
But they were triple shots, okay? So they really hooked up the shots. So I'm like, okay, cool. So now I have 12 shots of Jaeger, which is probably too much Jaeger.
You know, we're sounding like a bunch of hillbillies sitting around here bitching about how much the drinks cost in Vegas.
Exactly. So it was $100 with tip, whatever.
Right.
So I go back to the table. What I didn't realize is that my buddy Ed was on the other side of the bar buying the exact same round. So we show up. Now we have 24 shots of Jaeger.
Oh, my
eight
Lord.
Eight Miller Lights and two Red Bulls. Well, Trevor's like, dude, if I drink Jaeger, I'm going to throw up and the bachelor party's over, so I can't
Jaeger.
Do one, right?
I love Jaeger.
And I used to. And
I think everybody feels
right?
that way, probably.
And so Little did one shot, and that's all he could do. So now me and Ed have 20 shots of Jaeger between us. But we spent $100, right? We're not going to just leave these on the table.
So you're going to do 10 shots each? Is that the goal?
So we just me and Ed used to do this thing. Ed's the guy that married
my wife. Give them to somebody.
Married my wife, by the way. But anyway, so me and Ed.
Well, she was his ex-wife at the time.
Yeah. Well,
that's a weird phrase to say.
Yeah.
Married my wife.
Bowers is probably the most European guy we know.
I was in their wedding. But anyway.
Sounds like a math problem. Like, right. We had 24 shots of Jaeger. Now we have 20.
It does sound like a great math problem.
So when we were in college, and I think we're 35 at the time. This is what 35. I'm 35 when this is happening. This isn't like when I was a kid.
Wait a minute. How old are you now?
43.
Yeah. He and I are same age.
Me and Jay are the same age. Yeah.
I would have bet anything you were like 32, 33, somewhere around in there.
Nah.
Damn.
I was guessing 38.
Just clean living.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
Don't believe that.
Here comes a story.
Yeah. So anyway, so me and Ed back in college, like when we were in the dorm, when you would pre-drink, we would like have these shot battles where like I'd do a shot and then he'd do two to outdo me. So I'd do three and then he'd do four, like all at once, right? In a big cup.
Oh,
so I'm like,
Lord.
All right, we're doing old school, man. So I go to the bar, I get two big plastic cups and I pour 10 shots in his cup and 10 shots in my cup. God. And we toast and chug 10 shots of Jaeger.
How much did the plastic cups cost?
Hours.
$20 a piece?
They gave them to me for free since I tipped well. So anyway, that's when the lights go out. Right, about 5 minutes after.
Right,
that, right. Blackout.
You knew that was going to happen, right?
I had a feeling. Okay. I had a feeling.
Remind me about the term blackout. Go ahead.
Okay, so I black out there. So it's a brownout. I have, you know, brownouts like when you kind of have images here and there, flashes.
Sure.
It's different than nothing.
Do you have to shut one eye to see one thing?
Yeah, that's
okay. Yeah.
So we get in a cab and we're going to go to the Hard Rock Cafe. Because that's where we want to go, Hard Rock Casino.
Hard whatever. Rock. Are you yelling Hard Rock in the cab?
Maybe. Okay, and we were going to go to the club there, whatever the club there, I don't remember what it's called. But anyway, but the cab driver is like, hey, if you guys go to the strip club first, I can get you into the club at the Hard Rock for free. So what he said was, if you spend $2,000, I can save you $25.
Oh, that's exactly what he said.
Which sounds like a great idea, right? Let's do it, right?
With 20/20 hindsight, that sounds like it still sounds like a great idea.
So, sure, let's go to Sapphire. So we go to Sapphire, which is a solid strip club, by the way. Most beautiful strippers you've ever seen in your life are in Vegas. They're unbelievable. So we go to the strip club. And I'm talking to this girl for like, I don't know, an hour. I mean, in and out.
And you think you're doing really well.
Well, no, I know. I get what strippers are strippers. I get it, right? So, but we're hanging out. She's like, I'm making her laugh, whatever. And then she's like, well, hey, would you like to go to the back? And I'm like, sure. What's the back, right? She's like, it's $400 for half an hour plus a $100 bar tab. Now, in my drunk mind, I got $100 worth of drinks. No, you also have to spend $100 on drinks. But thank God Red Bulls are $28. So we're fine.
It's unreal.
So she says, hang on. I'm going to go change clothes. I'll be back.
I'm going to have to get better at math before I go to Vegas.
Yeah.
So she gets up. She leaves. She comes back. She's like, you ready to go to the back? I'm like, yeah. So we go back there. I really don't remember much of it. I know I got a couple Red Bulls. I was trying to wake up, trying to get back, whatever. So I get back. And this girl comes up. She's super pissed at me. And I'm like, what's going on? I was so drunk, I went in the back with the wrong girl.
Oh.
The girl that had been working me for an hour went to change clothes. Another one just saw I was wasted, swooped in, and stole me.
You got kidnapped by a stripper.
So now she's like, you have to go back with me now. Because I'm like, I spent all my money. I don't have any more money.
Write that down. Kidnapped by a stripper.
Yes.
So,
oh, my God.
So then we go to some other club, and I get kicked out, right?
Right.
So I'm going back to the hotel. And I was married to my second wife at the time. So I go back to the hotel, and I'm walking through, I think we're at the Stardust, and this hooker comes up, and she's like, hey, you want a party? And I was like, or she goes, you want some company? And I said, yeah, you know what? I'm drunk and lonely.
Right,
I would love some company. So we go upstairs to my room, and she's like, "Okay, so to fuck's $200 to, or no, to fuck's $300 to fuck was $400 to a blowjob was $300, whatever." And I was like, "Oh, I don't want any of that." And she's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "I'm married. That'd make this trip weird. I just can't." Plus,
wait a minute. For $700, you get everything?
Probably. I don't know.
Okay,
I think
$250 for HJ.
I don't know if sucking was included in the fucking. I have no idea. But
yeah,
that's always
the awkward part about being with a prostitute. You know, and I've been with many, and I will tell you the price haggling.
So yeah. Anyway, so I go, I don't want any of that because I'm married and I don't want to.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't do that. So like, how much just to hang out for half an hour? She's like. And what? Well, just talk to me. I'm bored. I'm lonely. I'm drunk. She's like, $200. I'm like, all right, sounds good. So she's sitting on my bed and we're talking. She's like, well, like, do you want a back rub or something? I'm like, yeah, you know, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah,
so I take my shirt off and she goes, gets the lotion out of the kitchen or the bathroom and she's rubbing my back. Where she's
all
like,
right.
Well, you want to put my tits on your back while you're rubbing your back? Yeah, that doesn't sound too bad. Sure, she takes her tits out. She's rubbing her tits.
$200. That's still the $200.
$200. So $200. Right. She's rubbing her tits on my back. She's
flat rate.
My back.
Flat rate.
Did she say Do you want me to put my tits? Like, did she use the word tits?
Yeah, she said tits. Mm. Yeah,
that's classic. Hilarious.
Yeah. So this girl also had amazing tits and kind of fucked up teeth, which I've always thought was like she had fake tits and bad teeth, which I've always thought's a poor decision. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. So,
yeah. Well, like, but in that world, I guess. Yeah.
Hey, she's behind you. You don't care at this point.
No, I was good.
Not rubbing her teeth on your back. Yeah.
That's an extra 100.
Yeah, that we know of. Right.
So anyway, so the half hour leaves, and so she goes, and I'm like, now I'm hungry. So I decided I want some pizza. So I go downstairs, and I go to a slice pizza place, and I buy a whole pizza, right? But they're like, we can't sell you a whole pizza. I'm like, I want a whole fucking pizza. So I spend like $95 on a pizza.
Oh,
right?
My God.
Those slices are like $8, so you get 10 slices of pizza. Yeah, exactly. All right. Gotcha.
I should have been running the calculator.
So I got a $96 pizza, and I go back to my room, and on my way back, this other hooker's like, hey, you want some company? I'm like, I just got done with a hooker. Do you have a card? And she did. She gives me a business card.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so my plan was, and we tried to get this to happen the next day, but he wouldn't do it. I wanted to pay a hooker to fuck Little, because he's kind of this little bulldog-looking guy. And when he gets laughing, he gets real red, and it's hilarious. So I wanted to have the hooker fuck Little, but we get to watch. Like, we'd pay for it if we could. And not watch him have sex, but like he'd be under the blanket so we could see his dumb face.
Right.
Like, try not to be embarrassed while we watch him have sex. He wouldn't do it. But anyway, so.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Sure. So I get up to the room, and I'm eating my pizza, and there was free pay-per-view in the hotel. Free pay-per-view movies. I've never seen anything like it, right? So I just – the new Star Wars, this is when the first three episodes had come out.
Sure.
So like the – whatever the one where Obi-Wan and Anakin have the lightsaber duel at the end. Which one is that called?
That's probably three.
It's number three, but I don't remember the title. But anyway.
Revenge of the Sith or
something. Yeah, something like that. So anyway, so the third Star Wars had just come out, and I'd seen it once in the theater, but I hadn't seen it since. And it was on the free pay-per-view. So I'm like, oh, I want to watch the lightsaber duel at the end. So I'm eating my pizza or whatever for like an hour. Finally, I pass out. Right?
You missed the lightsaber duel.
I missed the lightsaber duel because I passed out.
Right.
Next morning, I'm telling the guys, I'm like, oh, my God, they have free pay-per-view in the hotel. They're like, they do not. I'm like, I swear to God. I clip on the channel. It's the same 8-minute preview in a fucking loop.
Oh.
I was so drunk, I didn't know. And that's just Yoda fighting stormtroopers for an hour. I'm like, that Yoda's a badass.
Well, as you can tell, get relaxed, sit back, and enjoy. Hi, welcome to the Chick McGee Show. I'm Chick McGee. That's Jason Hofsetz. That's Jeff Vibert, and our guest this week is a man about town, motivational speaker, comedian, club owner, Vegas expert, Chris Bowers is here.
Hey, everybody.
Hi,
how
Chris.
We doing?
Good. How do we find out about Chris Bowers? Is it ChrisBowers.com?
There's BowersComedy.com, which is not updated at all and has my schedule from 2 years ago. So you can see where I was 2 years ago. Check that out.
Or all right.
Bowers Comedy on at Bowers Comedy on Twitter, and then Chris Bowers on Facebook. Facebook's where I do most of my business.
This is The Nights by Avicii.
The who by huh?
The Nights by
Avicii. Oh, did they win a Grammy or something?
I don't know. No. Chris Bowers likes this song.
My father said, son, live a life that you will remember. Someday you'll be gone. I love that line.
Boy, everything's got a big meaning with you.
Everything's got a big meaning, man.
You're just ripe for being a Buddhist. Are you a Buddhist yet? You should be. Come over here.
I
and
was,
be a Buddhist.
And I lost all the weight.
the blackout thing. So like, I'm going to say 5 years ago, 6 years ago, seven? Okay, 4 years ago.
Okay.
I thought blackout drunk meant you just passed out.
Oh, no, no, no.
No. You're up doing stuff.
Oh,
Jason, did you know this? Would you black out?
I wouldn't know. I've never been drunk, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. What do you do with that, right?
I don't know, man. You must be
had narcotics and I don't like
them. You must
them.
Be a
now,
great
that stuff, husband. That stuff messes with me, man.
Alcohol?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Again, as long as you're happy, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I've always said, you don't have to drink to have a good time, but if you're not having a good time, fucking drink. Let's do this.
What about you, Vibert?
Have
you ever been blackout drunk?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
So Chick, you just pass out? You don't black out and wander
around?
No.
I started to black out like 4 years ago. Gotcha. I mean, it was like, oh, this is what this is like. And then the next morning... you hear, well, then you did this, and then you did that, and I go, what? Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember any of that. And actually, at one point, and I don't know what's happened lately, but I really, honest to gosh, I don't have any reason to fib about this. I have like one drink now, and that's about it for me. I don't really, you know, I'll have a drink, and that'll be it. I can't remember how long it's been since I've had, you know, like five or six and really kind of goofy or... 10 or 12, and that's when you got your one, when you're watching TV and you got one eye shut so you don't see two TVs. You know, that's so then you start, then you forget. And I did that like two or three times at the old house with the dogs. I would, they would say, hey, be sure and set your clock. That's what they tell me. And yeah.
Next day, the dogs are like, dude, you were hammered last night.
You were hammered.
How would Monkey tell you about the alarms?
No, Dad, don't forget. You got to set the alarm because I tell you what, you're going to oversleep, and then they're going to know that you're drinking too much. Daddy, don't fall asleep. Daddy, daddy, daddy. That's what Monkey sounds like if she could talk.
Didn't she answer the phone once when Tom called and you were passed out?
Hello? Chick McGee residence, Monkey speaking. Can I help you? Yeah, is Chick there? Oh, hi, Tom. How you doing? It's Mrs. Monkey. Hang on a second. That's kind of a true thing, actually.
That's funny.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a theory that I've talked to some boxer guys that say, you know, that there's some guys that never get knocked out, but then if you get knocked out once, everybody has a button on their chin.
Right.
If you hit that button,
you hit it just right.
It knocks you out.
Right.
But the more you get knocked out, the bigger your button gets.
Oh.
Right? So once you've been knocked out, you're okay. Like the guys in the NFL that get the concussion, once you have one,
right.
you're more likely
sure,
to get
more. Likely, yep.
I think the same thing with blacking out. I think that if you've never blacked out, your button's real small, and then the more you black out, like I literally black out every time I drink now.
No, shit.
If I have more than six, I mean, if I have six or seven beers, but I mean, beers, shot doesn't matter if I don't drink shots. I mean, I was blacked out. Every time I drink, I black out. And now I'm a fun drunk. I'm not a mean drunk. I'm not cry. I don't pick anybody up.
I can testify to that.
I never get lost. I always make it home, right? Like no matter where I'm at, I always get home.
I think fun drunk is an understatement.
Bowers, and you're a legend on the show, and you probably didn't even know it. Your credo, your code that you live by is, yeah, I want to have fun, but what really kicks me into having fun and high gear is my friends having fun.
Oh yeah,
and you are like, you'll almost pay more attention to your friends having fun.
Yeah, I'd much rather you have sex than me have sex.
Yeah, it's almost it's
like I'm trying to get everyone in the room.
Yeah,
like,
you're trying to hook up everybody. That's what McComas said a couple of weeks ago. He's like, oh yeah, that's Chris lives to hook his house up with everybody, and then he's downstairs watching TV and falling asleep, and everybody's upstairs. It's Bangorama 2016.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, that's.
We should make that movie Bangorama 2017.
I'm sure it's
Bangorama.
Not like us make. Okay, all right.
Are you?
This
you
is
wanna,
the move. This is wanna, the move. You just made.
We
the
need.
Move?
We need some girls. We're gonna.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay if. If gay's your way, that's okay, right? But
sure.
Yeah.
But it needs to go boy, girl, mm-hmm. in the Bangorama, I would imagine.
So whatever possessed you, or I mean, other than you're being a businessman, what about this motivational speaker thing? What is all that about? I didn't even know you were a motivational speaker until last, was it 2 years ago, Carb Day?
When I drove down.
You drove from
back.
Baltimore,
yeah,
and you looked at me, and you go, man, I'm tired. I go, what's wrong? You hitting it hard last night? He goes, no, I just got back from Baltimore. And I went, Maryland?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, I just drove in for the picked up the comedian and came to the show at the track.
Yeah, because it was – well, I've done that 2 years in a row now. Where I
said that was just this past year.
Well, I've done it 2 years – oh, it was 2 years ago. It was the first time. But
right.
Like, so I speak to high school kids and middle school kids. That's what I do for a living. I don't tell as many stripper stories and cuss as much, but the same general vibe, you know.
Or you substitute stripper for
– believe in yourself.
Candyman. Yeah.
Babysitter.
Believe in yourself.
Or a comic book salesman or Dungeons and Dragons instead of pussy.
I tell people actually that I'm not the kind of motivational speaker that tries to make you better. I'm the kind of motivational speaker that tries to make you feel good about who you already are. So I'm not like you can do it. I'm like you've probably already done it. You know. So
that's kind of a key about that's. See, that's why I keep you'd be the perfect Buddhist because that's kind of.
Just be happy where you are.
Yeah, you don't, here now.
Yeah, you don't need to accomplish stuff.
Right
just
here,
feel,
right
feel
now.
Good where you are. So
I'm here in my studio with. One of my good friends, and I'm kidding, and we're having a good time, and we're making a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, the other day you were in the creator room, and you said, man, life's a motherfucker, and I go, yeah, and our lives are awesome.
Yeah, they
really
are.
Can you imagine how much a motherfucker life must be for someone whose life isn't awesome?
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
For how shitty a guy's life is who actually has to do something that's physical.
Right.
My physical therapist, she like runs this. There's like seven or eight, and she's just starting the business. Her name's Gwen, there's actually a job that you like a roofer or a fireman or anything physical. If you get hurt on the job or injured on the job, now first of all, how the hell would I get injured on the job? But that's neither here nor there.
Sure.
These people who get injured on the job, like a roofer, they have to report to her while they're rehabbing. and like six to eight hours a day rehabbing, and that's their job for like 6 to 8 weeks until they get better, and then they can go back to their job.
And then they get to be a roofer again.
And then they get to be a roofer again.
Yeah. So 8 hours of rehab so you can continue roofing.
So basically 8 hours of two-a-days so you can get back in the game. Yeah, I mean, it's
– Yeah, it's
– it, No, I mean, you're right. I mean, we've – you know, yeah, I mean,
I
all of us.
I lived a charmed life. I mean, I have a lot of fun, and I have a lot of cool stuff. I don't have any money, but that's okay.
No, know? But I
– I've always said if I think I don't have money because God doesn't want me to do cocaine and he knows I would die. And if I've never had cocaine money and mortgage money at the same time, so I've never tried cocaine, but it looks awesome. But so that's probably why I don't have any money. So I don't.
I've never tried cocaine.
Yeah. You're spending all your money on Red Bull and Vegas pizzas. That's
well,
why
that's
I don't have any money.
I could have done some cocaine. That
you know what? We need to go. The people in this room right now. Well, you're going to Vegas. What, next week?
Next week I'll be there.
Now, is this like your wife's going?
Yes.
Oh, boom. Oh,
but she's busy all day.
Oh, there you go.
Damn!
I'm just, I literally have zero
responsibility.
Responsibility.
And it's just you two.
No, she's with her boss and her husband.
There'll be some. The one thing I would do, and you're not a club guy.
I have a recommendation, but mine is a amateur recommendation. You go first with professional.
There's a place called my favorite place in Vegas is called the Voodoo Lounge. It's on the 65th floor of the Rio Hotel.
There's 65 floors.
That's a great hotel. The Rio is a great
hotel.
And it's kind of off the Rio's kind of off the strip.
It's off the strip, yeah. And so you go over there and go at night. And it's a roof, it's a bar out on a roof, and it's just I call it the skybox to Vegas. It's like just the coolest place. You can see the whole city, all the lights are way up,
and it is kind of quiet. I mean, it is kind of a secret.
Yeah, and it's not like I mean, there's some of that, but I'm saying like when you inside, but when you go outside, it's just kind of a really cool place to get pictures and like hang out. I mean, you know, you don't drink, but still, it's not like you got to drink a bunch club bar. It's just a cool kind of chill place. So like on a Wednesday night, Thursday night,
sure.
You know, if you go before, I think, 9 o'clock, they don't charge a cover. So if you go and, you know, if you get there after 11 or 12, they charge a cover. But, you know.
Chick, what's your suggestion, Jason? Yeah.
Oh, Pie Gal.
Oh, yes.
Pie Gal is a good game that if you don't – you're not worried about winning a lot of money and you're not worried about losing a lot of money. It takes a long time
to
do either.
And you break even pretty much every hand.
You break even a lot. And it a comedian friend of mine who I haven't seen in forever, Jack Thomas, who writes for the Fairly Odd Grandparents or Parents. Fairly Odd Parents, whatever. Yeah.
It's a good show.
he writes for them. And he turned me on to Pie Gal. We went to the Bahamas 1 year. And he said, you have to play Pie Gal because it's the coolest game. And you really –
Yeah,
it slows you down.
Especially if you're drinking.
Yeah,
which you're not drinking. But if you're drinking, then they bring you free drinks, and you know, in Vegas, a lot of times every free beer costs you $33 because you're playing blackjack and you're losing your ass or whatever. But like Pie Gal, it's a perfect.
Now the most dangerous game: craps and or blackjack. Yes. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Well, that's what I plan on doing. Three things: blackjack, and some sports betting.
Okay.
Have a little knowledge with that. I'll probably consult my friend Mr. Vibbert on some of this.
What am I?
And then throw a
okay. I see. No,
if it was football season, I would. Absolutely.
What do you know about basketball?
Oh, I know everything about basketball.
Everything about basketball. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched Purdue Rutgers last night, and I watched BC
Notre Dame. They covered, by the way.
Did Boston College, Purdue did covered.
Oh, they got their ass kicked by Notre Dame.
Are you guys... You guys betting basketball, and I didn't know anything about it?
No, he does. I keep an eye out. He bets everything. I mean, he bets a penny or something.
I've lost a lot of money on the UConn women's game. I think they're going to lose, and they never lose.
No, they're 100 in a row. That's a long bet.
It reminds me of that Simpsons where Krusty bets on the
against the Globetrotters?
Against the
on the General?
They're doomed! I'm telling you. The Generals are due.
He's yelling. They're spinning the ball.
Yeah,
and I like roulette. Roulette's the dumb one I like playing, but there's something dumb and fun about it. But there is some strategy to what you bet.
There's something very zen about roulette. And you just sit there and watch the ball go around.
Yeah.
And you just let it be.
Looks like a spinning tit.
It does.
I'm sorry.
A spinning tit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So feel free to.
It's like a bag of sand. You know, breasts feel like a bag of sand.
Can you put some money on the Redskins to win Super Bowl 52?
I'm sure I can.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah, like $10.
I mean, you're going to have to give me them.
Well, no, I mean, it's probably $10 to win 80,000 or whatever.
Crazy, yeah, I would imagine.
But if you'd have bet the Falcons, you'd have still lost. But I think they were off at like. 101 to win the Super Bowl if you'd have bet it during the regular season?
Yeah. One of my little Vegas moves is whenever I, like, so if I Uber somewhere and it costs $20, I will then put $20 on one hand of blackjack or on red or black on roulette and just try to pay for the ride.
Oh.
And then I just bet the one. So I either double.
If you lose, you got to walk.
Yeah, well, back, yeah, right? Actually sometimes I'll do that. If I lose, then I'll that's the strategy.
Back.
You have to walk back.
But, last time we were in Vegas, we went to the MGM and we were hosting a thing at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club, which is a cool little club.
Yeah, it's cool.
It really is. And I'm thinking 118 degrees outside. Mm. It was the hottest day. It was the hottest weather by far that I've been exposed to. It was crazy hot, and I was with Tom Griswold, and he is not a creature of, well, it's hot. I guess we're just going to have to deal with it. How can we make it cooler? I don't know what the problem is. This is insane.
Did you not bet when you were there? When you go, I mean,
what do you play? Games, yeah, or? You play dice and stuff? What do you do?
I like three-card poker, actually. I like three-card poker.
That's a good game.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those where you don't – I mean, I don't know. I've never won at gambling. I never win at gambling, ever. Like, I don't gamble a lot. I mean, I'm just bad at it. And I tell people all the time, like, you know, normal dudes, right? Man, their life sucks. They got a wife, kids, blah, 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 whatever. But twice a year they go to Vegas and win $600 and they're a Steelers fan. Occasionally they win the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a Bengals fan and I suck at gambling, but the rest of my life is pretty awesome. So right. I wouldn't trade it. But like, I've never wanted anything. Like, I've never even been up enough that I should have quit. Like, I've never.
Yeah, right.
I remember, like, oh, I should have stopped. Never won, you know? So.
Well, when my wife at the time and I, we'd go to Vegas when we lived in San Diego. We'd go to Vegas. And unbeknownst to me, obviously I got divorced and all that stuff, but after the fact, I found out that I thought that her game was slot machines and like Triple Diamond Deluxe or whatever the hell the name of the machine is. And she loved to play it. And she would tell me she lost like $400, $450 playing slot machine. Mm. So then I would go play dice, and honestly, I'd win like $450, $500.
Right.
With craps, which is like 20 minutes, or you can lose that much in 20 minutes.
Sure.
So I felt, but later on I found out she was losing like $800, $1,000 on the slot machines. So we were still down 500. Would you go see the shows and stuff like that in Vegas?
What did I go see? I saw the Mamma Mia once. I'm not a show guy either.
I'd go see Mamma Mia. I like that.
I'm just a get drunk guy. Like, no matter where I go, I like to drink and hang out.
Just have fun.
And that's what I don't need to go anywhere. I don't need to see it. Like, I did comedy in Virginia Beach once at the Funny Bone, and like, you know, I watched Law and Order reruns. I didn't see the beach. I didn't go one time. I watched Law and Order reruns and got drunk every night. I didn't go to the beach. Travel's so wasted on me sometimes because I just don't, like, you know.
Here's something I've always wanted to ask you personally because, you know, we're friends outside of this, and this is your term. He's mentioned this before, that when you were a kid, you were kind of an asshole.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was.
Having said that, you're pretty gregarious and a loving guy, and I don't know anyone who doesn't like you. Where did you – I know, I don't – but where did that
– I'm an acquired
how did that,
taste. I'll how say
that,
I'm an acquired taste. People don't like me right away.
If they hang out with you, they're going to like you.
Is this like get back to your motivational speaker? Did that come out of you being a jerk as a kid?
Well, I mean, I tell you, I had a bad childhood, but only because I was a dick.
Right.
Like, there's all kinds of pictures
of
me.
But where did,
like,
you flip the switch? Disney, didn't you?
Give me an example of how you were a dick when you were a kid.
So a couple different things. I have two different origin stories for this. So I was like a beat the tennis racket on the ground, kick the basketball in the woods, fight people, just like a spoiled brat. Like, to give you an example, like when I was in eighth grade, I went to the mall with my mom, like the first day of summer break from between eighth grade and my ninth, or no, seventh and eighth grade, between in middle school. And I was a dork, but I thought I was a prep and I only wore Izod shirts and I, you know, blah, 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 I wouldn't be. And so my mom was stopping in Kmart on the way home, and I'm like, I'm not going to Kmart. That's where scummy people go, right? Because I'm that kid, right? And she's like, don't be an asshole. Go in fucking Kmart. I'm like, no, I'm not going to Kmart. She's like, you don't go in Kmart, you're grounded all day. First day of summer. I'm like, and the pool is across the street. We had a neighborhood pool across the street. Like, it's awesome. Nope, I'll be grounded. So I went home. I was grounded.
Oh, my God.
Next morning, she wakes up at 9 a.m. Get in the car. We drive to Kmart. You going in? Nope. 28 days in a row.
No way.
She took me to Kmart. 28 days in a row. I didn't go in Kmart, and I sat in my room. And this is pre-internet, so I didn't have a TV. I didn't have anything. I just sat in my room out of spite. because I'm not. You're not going to break me. So I would not let my mother break.
So that's why you didn't go to the beach in Virginia Beach.
Yeah, right.
You were happy being in the room.
I'm not a sand guy, but anyway. So I'm just saying, like so that's the kind of asshole I was. And I remember I worked at a law firm the summer after my freshman year in college. I worked at a law firm for my uncle. And my favorite uncle, great job. I was a runner, which meant I had to go take stuff to court and file it and whatever. That was my job. And so the queen – or the best part of that, the jewel of that job was a Columbus run. I was in Dayton, Ohio. If you had to drive to Columbus to file something at the state court, right, that was mileage money. So you got 26 cents a mile, money.
You grew up in Dayton?
I grew up in Enon, Ohio. Yeah,
yeah, Enon. Yeah, yeah. None spelled backwards. Yeah, Enon, Enon has I worked in Springfield for like 2 years.
I was born in Springfield Hospital.
No kidding.
Upper Valley Mall was my hangout, man, back in the day.
Upper Valley Mall is right.
That's where you left a car, didn't it?
Right.
You a car there?
At the apartment complex was called The Hill, I think. Apartment complex. It was up looking over the Upper Valley Mall. Son of a gun.
So what years were you on the air in Springfield?
Let me think.
80 what?
87, 88, 89.
Yeah, so you're a teenager.
Well, I moved to Indiana in fourth grade.
Okay.
So but my whole family still lives. I mean, my uncle lives in Bellbrook. They all live right in that same area.
In Huber Heights, the world's largest community of brick homes. Nobody believes in me when that's their slogan.
Okay. Yeah.
So I didn't know that. Did I know that? I just forgot.
You probably knew that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the run to Columbus was you'd get cash money, right? So I'm a college kid. It's like $126 in cash, free money. Because I'm also, by the way, driving my uncle's Lexus. He's letting me drive it, and he's paying for the gas.
Holy moly.
Is a free – and I'm just getting free money. I'm in college, whatever. So I'm driving to Columbus, and I have to get gas. So I stop at the gas station, and this is before they had pay at the pump, right?
Right.
And it was one of those where you had to prepay for your gas. Oh, that's my pet peeve.
Oh.
Having to go in and give them money and you don't have much money to give them, then you got to go back and get your change. Oh, it's a pain in the ass. And I was in a hurry, right? So I kick over the garbage can at the – I'm like, God damn it. I'm just so good.
Because you're a dick.
And I just kick over the garbage can.
And you had to pay at the pump. That's why you're throwing this
fit.
You couldn't pay at the pump.
And I swear to God, in my head I went, you are such an asshole. What the fuck is wrong? Your life is so great. You have this awesome job with your favorite uncle. He's letting you drive a Lexus that he pays for the gas. You're getting $126 of free money, and you're going to fucking throw a fit because you can't – the gas card that your uncle gave you, you have to go inside and give him, you son of a bitch.
Oh, my God.
And at that moment, it literally just snapped in that moment, and I fucking poked all the garbage up, and I put it in the garbage can, and I set the garbage can back where it was, and I went in with a smile, and I was like, hey, I need $20 on pump 7 or whatever, and I gave him my card, and – that was the last time.
Had a moment.
I had an epiphany. I was just I'm like, what are you doing? Why would you spend all this time being angry and over dumb shit? Like, I literally, and so there was that moment, and then there was another moment in my life where I was in a fraternity in college, and I joined a little tiny fraternity, like 8 or 10 dudes, and then when I graduated, we had like 90, so we kind of built it. But my mentor in the fraternity, his name was Troy Burke, and Troy was a senior when I was a freshman or a sophomore, and we went to this national fraternity conference in Maryland, Baltimore, actually, at University of Maryland. And so we drove out there. He rented a convertible with school as hell. We drove out there, hung out. And I was very argumentative in that, like, I would argue with you about everything. I just thought that was cool, right?
Yeah.
And I just was just very, whatever. And so we were driving back, and we were arguing about something. I don't even know what we were arguing about. But I was just going – and I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. And he did. And I was just blah, 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 blah. And we're on the highway at like 80 miles an hour, and he just slams on the brakes – in the middle of the night, and we stop, and people are honking and driving around us. It was crazy. And he looks at me and he goes, have you ever shut the fuck up and listened to anybody else talk but you for 5 minutes? And I was like, fuck no, I haven't. I've never done that. He goes, this is why people don't like you, man.
Oh, no way.
He goes, you've been searching why people don't, it's because you don't listen to anybody else. You just listen to yourself talk to hear yourself fucking talk and listen sometimes. And I was like, fuck, my bad. And so that – and I still, you know, obviously talk too much sometimes, I try to now listen to other people. I that's where I started – that exact moment was like, I got to start, you know, not – I got to figure out what everybody else needs, what everybody else wants. It's not about me. It's about everybody. And mm-hmm. so that was the second kind of epiphany. And then there was another time I was arguing with a girl about legalization of drugs or whatever. And as I was talking to her, I realized, okay, the more I argue with this woman, the less chance I have to have sex with her. Right?
Right.
Because I'm making her mad. And even if I convinced her that legalization of drugs is a good idea,
right,
they're not going to be legal. I'm not in charge of that shit. Right?
Why argue something you're not in charge of?
So what's the point, right? Like Ahmad Baroka, who was on at Morty's last week, he said, yeah, after this election, I thought to myself, man, it's like my Facebook post didn't mean anything. So, and that's why I don't go political on Facebook. And I try to, it's like, really, right. Even I've tried hard not to do that either. Even if you put the most amazing Facebook post in the world on Facebook and every single person on Facebook liked it, it doesn't change anything. So,
as Chick says, so what?
So what? Yeah, remember whatever happened. Oh, and there was another, where did I see this? Some quote. Yeah, your bumper sticker really changed my idea about that issue. Yeah, you know? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back with more with Chris Bowers in just a second. But first, I need to tell you about this. Are you guys going to listen?
I'm listening.
All right. Listen. We need your help. The Chick McGee Show needs your help to keep this podcast free to download and minimal ads. Here's what you need to do. Participate in a survey, and I hear you. Oh, no, I don't want to do it. But it takes 5 minutes, and it really helps the Chick McGee
Show. I love surveys.
I love surveys, too.
I really do.
Take a survey.
Last time I took a survey, got a free cheesy bread.
Well, we're not giving cheesy bread, but.
Well, okay. I tell you what, we might look into that.
Yeah.
Fibber will bring cheesy bread to your house.
I'm not saying
we'll pick
yes
one
or
winner.
No. Yeah.
If you see Jeff out in public and say, I
took
did
the survey.
How about that cheesy bread?
If Chick pays for my gas mileage, I will deliver the cheesy bread.
Done and done. The survey will take no more than 5 minutes, and there's two easy ways to start the survey. Go to podcastone.com/mysurvey or go to podcastone.com. That's all there is to it. And click on the survey banner. Yeah, you know, if you filled out a survey before, if you filled out one of these before, we thank you. But I know you haven't filled out one for the Chick McGee Show because we've only been with Podcast One for six or seven months or something. Like that. Not that long at all. So this will really help us out if you do this. I don't want to beg, but please, please, please fill out the survey and answer everything with some form of Chick McGee Show. You do all of us at the Chick McGee Show a favor and Podcast One a huge favor by filling out this survey. So thank you for supporting the Chick McGee Show and listening and downloading and telling all your friends. But please participate in the survey. It's podcastone.com/mysurvey or podcastone.com. Click on the survey banner. That's all there is to it, and it will really help us out. And we'll be back with comedian, motivational speaker, man about town, Vegas expert, Chris Bowers in a couple minutes right here on the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One.
As words fell from your mouth, the ice trees burned behind your house.
Welcome back to part two of the Chick McGee Show.
Bob showed up in a blinding blue.
That's Bob Schneider, bobschneider.com.
They all swore their love to you.
He's coming back real soon. I was just going to say when the weather gets warmer, but... Uh-oh, are we talking about the weather on the podcast?
He's always doing shows, right?
He's always doing shows somewhere, yeah. Our guest this week is Chris Bowers, comedian. What do you like to be labeled as? You do everything.
Yeah, I'm a comedian. I mean, I'll say motivational speaker, comedian. I don't try to tell people I'm a club owner generally just because there's a bad connotation with club owner comics.
You're the first club owner comedian, and I haven't met very many. I'll qualify that. But you're the first one that seems like, yeah, he'd be okay running a club. Up until you, every comedian who ran a club, I thought, fill in the blank, has no business running a club. He's just asking for trouble.
Yeah, well, the good news is I don't actually run the club. I mean, I literally have no responsibility whatsoever. I drink beer and take comics to the airport. That's my advantage. I mean, I literally don't. I mean,
well,
Tony does most of the stuff.
I'm saying you book a lot of that.
I mean, Todd and I will talk about who the comics we want back and who we want to have in, right? But I'm saying, like, Tony Dierdorf is my business partner, best friend since college.
What's Tony's last name?
Dierdorf.
That's right.
So he does all that stuff. And then Avery, who is our general manager, who was with the club before. I mean, those two guys run it. I just simply show up. Right. It's funny, like every so often, somebody will go, well, I don't want to piss Bowers off. He might fire me. And then everyone else on the staff will laugh because they know that I don't have any. That's adorable. You think Bowers could fire you? That's awesome.
Have you ever thought about writing a book?
You know, I have actually. I just don't have the attention span. Adam Cashner, you know Cash.
Yeah, sure.
He wants to write a book of Bowersisms or whatever, and where I just dictate it to him and he writes.
Yeah,
it
to
down.
Me, it just would be called. I've got a theory. would be the title of it.
Oh, yeah, you do say that. I've got a theory about...
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think differently about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the way my brain works. Like, I always take the opposite stance of what everyone else thinks, you know?
And I don't know what it is about you, but when you say I've got a theory and then you explain it to me, I almost always agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's like... Yeah.
But I don't think I'm right in that case. I don't think I have
a Svengali kind of way. One of my best friends from college, Phil, was one time he's like, "Yeah, you know, you get in the room and you explain things to me," and I'm like, "Yeah, that's right." And then like I get away from you for like 2 days, and I'm like, "No, that's not fucking right. What are you talking about?"
That's so true. Like when when you're right here, I go, "Powers is so right about that," and then I hear something. Like, no, what the
hell is he talking about?
How do we get Jeff Vibbert on stage more often? What's the problem there?
Well, yeah, what's the problem there?
I mean, I think you just show up more.
How are you? Yeah.
Honestly, that's the thing I didn't know about comedy when I first started because I thought you'd wait for an invitation, and if you liked you, they'd shower you with no, you just show up.
Yeah.
If you're there, you get on stage.
That's half the battle.
Given the way that, comedy is, I mean, it's almost 99% showing up and being on time and being
ready.
Yourself,
yeah,
you know, instead of falling asleep. And
yeah, I mean,
have you ever missed a gig, Vibbert?
Oh, no.
No?
I show up like 2 hours early for every gig.
Yeah.
That could be a bad thing. I don't know.
Well,
are you?
Oh, God, the guy's
are you Beaver? Are you hooked in with this comedy club, or are you doing the other one?
I'm hooked in with every
all of them,
comedy
right?
club.
You're hooked with all.
But no. So last night I was hanging out with a friend, and she goes, "Hey, do you know a kid named Bowers?" And I go,
"Yeah."
Kid?
I laughed so hard. He told me
he said this. To
he told me this morning at 6:45.
Are you dated a 65-year-old woman?
And I was laughing. I was laughing so hard. "Hey, you know this kid named Bowers?"
And I go, "Chris Bowers?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I go, "He's a grown man, but yes."
Who was it?
She doesn't know you. Her friend knows you. I don't know her friend.
Oh, okay.
Apparently she's bi. What?
What?
What happened? Huh? What? But yeah, so I have an opposite end, like one of my jokes. This came out of a true conversation. A buddy of mine called me and he was like, he's got a daughter who's like 14 and she's real pretty. And he's like, "Dude, I'm in trouble. I'm gonna have a hot daughter. I'm fucked." And I'm like, "No, you want a hot daughter. The hotter the better." He's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Well, in high school, it's about supply and demand. And if you're in demand, you're in charge of the supply. Right? So if your daughter's hot enough, some dumb high school kid will want to sit next to her and hold her hand because she's real pretty. If she's a 6, she's going to put some shit in her mouth. You got to create the demand somehow. Right? I mean, think about it. In high school, it was never the hot girls that gave it up. It was the middle of the road girls.
Remember what I said earlier about Bowers being right? I think I've skipped. No, no, Chris. What?
I see his theory.
Were you Jason... I almost forgot your name. I don't know why that is. Oh, you have two daughters, right?
Yeah.
I will have a 16-year-old in a month.
So you want her to be hot.
Yeah. I mean, and she's a beautiful kid.
That's good. I'm just telling you, like, there's the girls that have to – are the ones that are trying to get guys to like them, you know, where if everybody likes you, she could still like it. I don't know. I'm just saying, like – but, like, it's not as much pressure. Anyway, but that's an opposite theory. And what I said to him, he was like – "Oh, fuck, I guess you're right." So teach them to make good decisions and respect themselves.
I'm going to start texting you with, "Give me a theory on this," because I need, I need some ammunition.
That could work.
It's going
to
come up.
One thing I think that, and this is speaking to school, in schools, what I think that we do poorly to daughters is we always say this. We always say to women, they always go, "Watch out for guys. They only want one thing," right? Don't ever say that to your daughter, because what that says to her subconsciously is, "Oh, honey, you thought they liked you? They just want your vagina. They're tricking you. No one would ever love you. Have you seen you?"
Okay.
Right? And that's why their self-esteem's all fucked up, because they thought everybody that talks to them only wants one thing. And you're also saying, and by the way, if you want a boyfriend, which is what every girl in high school wants is a boyfriend, you better put out, because that's all they care about. So it doesn't work.
I hear you.
And it hurts their self-esteem. So don't say any shit like that.
I think he just rebounded from his last theory. I like that.
Yeah, I like that theory.
That was spot on.
Yeah, I like that theory very much.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in like a fist fight or a serious disagreement of any sort?
I have been in 3 fist fights as an adult.
Yeah.
Well, and by fist fight, I mean I punched a guy
and
then ran away. So it's not like I've never gotten hit. I've punched 3 people in my life as an adult, after 35. I mean, I was like in my adulthood. All 3 over pizza.
What?
I'm sorry, what?
There was some pizza disagreements.
Well, we could have ordered
it.
No, I my buddy was being – I bought an extra pizza from Greek's at 96th Street because it's
great
my favorite pizza.
Nice pizza.
We went to Bella Vita and whatever, but I bought an extra one to eat when I was drunk, and my buddy was being a whiny bitch on the way home, and I called him a name, and he took my pizza and threw it out the window of the moving car.
Oh, no. Shit.
And so I punched him in the face about 8 times before they pulled me off
God.
In the backseat of the car
that's
on I-69.
That's justifiable assault.
That's some
that
good
is.
Pizza.
Right? Yeah. And a whole brand new one.
Have you haven't had Greeks?
I'm trying to think. I've had Greeks, but Greeks I'm trying good. To think to where the one on 96th is.
It's 116th. I'm sorry. 116th.
Okay, yeah.
That
yeah.
One.
Yeah,
it's like and that's that. Back in the day when that was the only one. There was only one. Right. And so I had to drive like a half hour. Right. My theory on pizza is you got to be a half hour away for pizza to be good. Right? If it can come to your house, you get sick of it.
I like – I think my favorite pizza in the city is – man, this is going to make some people mad. Maybe I shouldn't say. But there are like three or four that I like.
I don't have a girlfriend, but I know somebody that would be mad if they heard that statement.
I like Some Guys. I like Puccini's.
Yeah.
I like Giacomo. And I like Jet's. I will have any of those pizzas at any time. Yeah. And actually, maybe – when I think about it, though, I just used what little celebrity I have to actually get Giacomo to deliver to my house because they're over at Fort Bend and I'm like a tenth or 3/10 of a mile out of their delivery. And I said, no, look. And then, and they go, okay, well, what's your name? And I go, McGee, Chick McGee. And they go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, no problem. So I have to call them. But it's fine. A couple hours in advance, and then they can work me into the delivery. But I was so excited.
Yeah. I'm a big Pizza King guy. I love Pizza King.
Oh, I like the Pizza King. Is that where you go?
I'll eat Pizza King, but my pepperoni, because I'm an American, is circle.
No, not crumbled. I like crumbled.
Oh, I hate the crumbled.
Now, is Pizza King
where you call you use the phone at your table?
Yep.
I love that part.
Now there are two different Pizza Kings in Indiana. There's East Coast Pizza King and West Coast Pizza King, and it's a battle. I don't know if you guys know this.
I don't know that.
31 is the dividing line. Any Pizza King on the west side of the state is completely different than the east side of the state.
Okay,
the east side is Muncie, Richmond, Carmel, Greenfield, all that. Yeah,
how do they differ?
The east side Pizza King has that rolling oven, so it rolls through, so it cooks evenly. Where the west side cooks it on a stone, and sometimes they burn it. The sauce is completely different, and the east side uses provolone cheese, and the west side uses mozzarella cheese. And
Jesus
then
Christ!
They put the spices. The east side puts the spices in the cheese.
How do
and
you
the
know
west
this?
Side, I'm a pizza.
You know
I've been
all
in three fist
guy.
Fights over pizza, Jeff. I care about pizza a lot. So actually, I went to. So they opened a Pizza King in Broderpool. It was open for like 2 months.
I was going to say it wasn't open for very long.
Because it was West Side. So everyone went, and West Side's not as good, right? If you go to Pizza King in Brownsburg,
or
it's
Muncie,
not as good, or Marion. Yeah. Muncie's good. Muncie's East Side.
Muncie's
but anyway,
good? Okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I went in, and I was like, this is not the same at all. So I went to Carmel. I'm like, what is – and the guy explained the history. There was two brothers, and they got in a big fight, and they sued each other, and then they had to use different recipes and whatever. So, you know, it's a dividing – 31's the dividing line. So it's kind of like a rap battle. But for
that's
pizza.
Interesting.
East Coast, West Coast.
The guy's only pizza at the window. I punched that guy. Then one time, me and the guy I punched, the first guy I punched, that's my good buddy. We were going back.
Just the same guy?
Well, I didn't punch this guy. This he was just part of the ultimate. Superman. My buddy Ryan Moran, we call him Superman. Superman and I were coming back from Broderpool in a cab, and there was a drunk guy in the front of the cab already. Mm-hmm. And the cab driver's like, hey, I'm going to give this guy a ride home after I give you guys a ride home. He just stumbled in here. He's too drunk to – I'm just – whatever. We're like, fine, whatever. So we drive back to my house, and then he starts like, you fucking pussies. He's like calling us names or whatever because he's just a drunk idiot. Yeah. And so we get out of the cab, and we had two pieces of pizza left in the styrofoam container Superman had in his hand. And the guy comes, he's like trying to fight us. And we're like, dude, we're not going to fight you. Get out of here. And the dude slaps the pizza.
Oh, no.
And the box opens and both pieces land face down on the dirt.
Oh.
And so I punched that guy in the face.
Okay. I'm okay with that one.
So that one. And then third one, I was in Atlanta at a comedy festival.
You punched Miss Pat.
No. I would be dead if I punched Miss Pat.
I didn't know what you were going to do with that, but that was good.
She's been shot two times and hit by a dump truck. She wished the dude would. Yeah. Anyway, so I
wish you would hit me.
Right? Yeah, right. So I'm at a pizza place by the slice stand, right? And my favorite temperature of pizza is display temperature.
Oh, my God.
Right?
What's wrong with you?
I don't want it to be hot. I hate when it's hot and burns your mouth. I want it like just room temperature.
Ambient temperature.
Yeah, like when I get a pizza from delivery, I'll put it in the freezer for like 10 minutes to get it cooled down.
I'm like cold pizza. I'm like next day pizza.
Yeah, and I like cold pizza too. I don't like it piping hot, so I don't like when they put it in the oven.
Got it.
At the slice place, right? So, or when it comes out brand new at the slice place, you got to wait. I didn't like that. So there's two pieces of pepperoni, which is what I wanted. Perfect. There's a drunk guy in front of me who's just being a dick. He's just like, whatever. And he's just like drunk and whatever. And so I go, hey, can I just get those two pieces of pepperoni? He goes, hey, I'm in line here. And I'm like, well, then fucking order, man. Let's go. And he turns around and he goes, I'll have two pieces of pepperoni. And he takes my pepperoni. Throws them away, and then orders two pieces of Supreme.
Oh, he
did not.
Yes. So I punched that guy in the face.
Oh, my God.
In the restaurant?
In the It was like an outdoor slice place. Right. So, yeah, I punched him in front of the slice stand.
So
yeah.
That's all three times?
That's all three times I've been in a fist
connected
fight.
With pizza.
Now, I want to know the whole story.
That's
you
amazing.
You punched him and then you ordered...
No, then we didn't get any pizza because everybody was like, "We gotta go!" Because I punched a guy. You know, you can't just then order pizza.
I think you're 3 for 3. Like those are all okay.
Yeah, I'm not being a.
I can't imagine anyone having three better pizza stories than that.
I can't either. I didn't know. I wouldn't. Well, I guess I would. I mean, provolone from mozzarella, and the difference in taste. I guess is provolone a little sweeter? I guess.
I don't know. It's just better. It's better. I don't know why.
I do know this. I like finely shredded cheese. As opposed to shredded cheese.
I'll give you that.
Finely shredded melts is... Yeah. Are we the actually consistency. Talking about
except for
pizza?
I like a regular shredded cheese on a chili cheese hot dog. I don't like the finely shredded on chili cheese hot dog.
I think what you should do now on the podcast because
a food blog.
that might be not a bad idea. I always wanted to get you on the podcast to ask you to share your theory about comedy clubs. And people, I don't know if this concerns just Central Indiana or comedy clubs everywhere, and what floor these comedy clubs are located on. If you'd like to go ahead and share that.
For some reason, when you got to walk upstairs, you're going to be in trouble.
If you got to go upstairs to see comedy, you're not going to have as good a time.
What about downstairs?
Well, downstairs people tend to like for some reason, but upstairs, by the way, that's just comedy. That's every bar. Notice how many bars close because you got to walk upstairs. I don't know if it's an Indiana thing or it's a Midwestern thing and we're fat.
I was just going to say, like the comedy cellar, Bacchus has told me the comedy cellar is like a legend because it's in the cellar. I mean, not because, like one of the attractive parts
comics,
of it.
Comics like low ceilings because it traps the laughter, and so that's why downstairs. Usually, if you're upstairs, your ceilings are higher because you got a ceiling. But in a basement, the ceilings always are real low, right?
Huh.
So that's why the comedy attic. People love the comedy attic because it's got low ceilings. So even though it's upstairs, it's got low ceilings. So that's actually also goes against the rule of walking upstairs. But yeah, if you walk upstairs, again, it's not about comedies. People just don't want to walk upstairs for some reason. I mean, every bar that's upstairs. I mean, other than Red Room in Broderpool, every bar that's ever been upstairs. If you look at Jillian's or
is the Red Room still open?
Yeah, it's still there. But every other bar that's ever been upstairs closes in like 6 months because just people are like, ugh, I'm not going to walk upstairs to drink.
Jeff, you go to a lot of bars. What do you think?
I think that's false. I love walking upstairs to go, but I'm –
But look how skinny you are.
Yeah. You know. I feel like I'm going on an adventure. I'm like, this is going to be a fun time if we're going up someplace.
Oh, it's kind of like the ascent – on Everest.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
It's very scenic.
And maybe there's a fear that you might fall down said stairs on the way home if you're drinking at a bar. You know what I mean? Like stairs complicate things.
Sure.
And so in the basement – oh, there you go. In the basement, you're walking down the stairs when you're sober and you're walking up the stairs when you're drunk, so you're not as much of a fall hazard.
Okay, there
you go.
That's
probably what it is. Probably
there
what it is.
You go.
Because when you walk downstairs drunk, you fall down.
Cheers was downstairs, right?
Yep.
Oh, just well,
a couple
cheers.
Steps.
Not a whole flight.
No, yes,
though, right?
It was.
Was
absolutely.
It a whole flight?
In that
was.
Front. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I mean, it was a small flight.
You see them coming down through the window.
That's yeah, true.
They
That's
would come
point.
Down.
It's a solid point.
I like going to a party in a basement because you're walking down and they can't see your face. They just see your feet, and all of a sudden you appear.
Well, I think though, the basement thing, I think that goes back to your childhood. Did you guys? I mean, it seemed like everybody's good parties they were in the basement.
Yes, that's a solid point.
Absolutely,
you know
absolutely.
You weren't allowed to go upstairs.
Hold that shit down there.
There was a house we partied at Ball State, 1100 Carson, that had parties all the time. But the third step from the bottom of their stairs in the basement was slanted. And so we would just get beers and sit at the end of the stairs and watch people fall down the entire night. It was just after person after person after person.
That would
and
be
once
so
you
great.
Knew it was there, you didn't fall down. But anybody new coming to this party would just fall. I mean, we'd literally watch hundreds of people fall a day. It was like our favorite thing to do.
You didn't think about putting a sign up there that said, hey.
It was my house. I didn't give a shit.
All right.
And by the way, if it had been the 10th stair and they would have hurt themselves, we would have done that.
Yeah,
but it was just like it wasn't like a full on, I broke my arm, this is terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just like, I look like a dumbass and I spilled beer all over me, which was the fun part.
Yeah. I think basements by and large are ornery. Because when my son, was one summer vacation, he and a buddy of his, do you know this story?
I think so. Is it hot chocolate?
Yes. Oh, he and a buddy of his, they caught a big section of carpet in the basement. On fire. They caught it on fire. And if you sit and think for a moment, instead of being angry, which I was immediately, especially at that time, man, the numbers I was putting up on the anger meter. Woo! But, you know, you're trying to smoke, whether it's regular cigarettes or marijuana or whatever. You're obviously, if you're setting a carpet on fire, which won't burn, by a carpet, I mean, they're set up to not burn and melt.
This is probably asbestos days, too, like in the 70s or 80s. You know,
I'm going to say in the mid-90s, early 90s.
You might still have mid-90s. Asbestos carpet. But,
so his mom calls me. They're living, you know, we're divorced. And she calls me and goes, well, guess what your son did? I mean, it's the classic, you know. I go, what happened? And she goes, well, he says that he and his friend were making hot chocolate in the basement. And they spilled a cup of hot chocolate.
It was so hot it caught the carpet.
It was so hot it caught the carpet on fire. Yes, Bauer. Yes. That's exactly what he said.
That is such a great story.
And we're both like, really? And part of us, you know, a big part being a responsible parent is like, okay, he shouldn't be, you know, open flame, whether he's cigarettes or drugs or whatever. But a bigger part of me, I know, I was disappointed that he couldn't come up with a better lie than that, you know?
For sure.
Was just, what the hell? Really? That's the story you're going to use?
Yeah, well, that's my thing I tell kids. I'm like, look, it's not the thing you do that gets you in trouble. It's the lie that you tell to try to get out of it. And what's so funny to me, too, is like the thing that we all do is the one thing we can't excuse from other people, right? Like a guy can murder somebody. We're not mad that OJ murdered his wife. We're mad he lied about it, right? Like we've never murdered. I've never murdered. Yeah. But like I guess maybe we can't fathom it. But when somebody lies, that's when you're – I'm like – you know, so like if you look at like even politics, you know, like if George W. Bush would have come out and said – I swear to God, guys, I thought they had shit in Iraq. They told me this intelligence. I was wrong. I fucked up. My bad. Right? We'd have been like, oh, cool. If Bill Clinton during the whole Monica Lewinsky thing would have been like, I've got a tough job. It's stressful, guys. Yeah. And sometimes I
gotta get a blowski.
Sometimes I fuck up and I fucking intern. My bad. We'd have been like, oh, cool. Right?
Have
like,
you seen – sometimes – I know this might be surprising, but sometimes Hillary's not in the mood. I don't know. What am I supposed to do?
That's what I'm saying. Like, but
look at her.
It's the line that we have a problem with, you know? And on some level, that's where Donald Trump kind of won people over is that he's an asshole, but he's not lying. He's like, no, I grabbed her in a pussy. I did it. Fuck off.
Hang on a second. I'm not the one to call Donald Trump an asshole, okay?
Well, I'm just saying if you don't like him, but I mean, so that's where this populist movement came from is like he's the first guy to go, yep, I did that, you know, probably shouldn't have – and he didn't even apologize. Like, yeah, no.
And the closest that Clinton got to telling the truth is like they finally asked him, why did you do it? Why did you, you know, whatever with Monica? And he goes, because I could. And that's kind of what Trump was saying about the celebrity, grab him by the pussy or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, a part of you kind of sort of likes Clinton, likes Trump when they start – yeah. I mean, are you kidding me? I was in the position where I could do this, and I did this. And there you go. This is what happened.
So anyway, so it's the line. Yeah, that's so funny. Hot chocolate's burnt the carpet on – set the carpet on fire is hilarious. What a terrible line.
And then I started to think, well –
I love that.
Like you might be the dumbest person I've ever
met. I know, right? You're embarrassed. I mean, oh my God. Well, and then you start to think,
son. I'm not mad at you because you burnt the carpet. I'm mad at you because of how stupid you are that you thought that would be a.
Yeah, right. I mean, you're my son. I was hoping you would be a little smarter. Luckily, he's gotten smarter. But
how old was he?
There are other stories. I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I think he was 12. So it would have been. It would have been, oh my God, it would have been, he was born in 91, so it would have been 03, 02, 03, something like that.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
That reminds me of The Simpsons where Homer can't cook and he pours milk and cereal into a bowl and it just catches fire all of a sudden.
Oh my God. So what would you tell a young comedian like – do you feel like you're in a place where you could – I mean, is this end game for Bowers? I mean, owning a club and doing a little bit of everything, or do you want to have your own show? Or
I mean, honestly, my goal in life is to be Indianapolis famous.
Okay.
Like, I'm happy here. I love my home. I would love it if I had – like we talk about Brad Garrett. Brad Garrett sells at his own club in Vegas once a month.
He does.
And that pays all the bills.
Yeah.
I would love to – I go to a Pacers game. They put me on the Jumbotron. I can get tickets to any show I want. I'm basically Chick McGee is what I'm trying to say. And so I'm just saying, like, I would just – I don't need to be nationally famous. But if, like, yeah. – if I would love to have a Comedy Central special. I'd like to go to Just for Laughs in Montreal. That'd be cool as a comedian. You know, I'd like to get past the Comedy Cellar in New York. I'd like to be able to go those places mm-hmm. and people know who I am as a comic, right? Right. Like, I like it when people mention me on podcasts or whatever. That's cool in the comedy world. But I don't need to be famous in the real world. That seems, like, tough. You know what I mean? I don't think I'd want to be Tom Cruise or George Clooney.
Can you,
know,
imagine?
Where you can't even go to the grocery store, right? But I'd like to be able to, hey, I'm Chick McGee, deliver pizza 10 minutes from my house. You know what I mean? That'd be cool. And so I'm saying that's kind of my end goal where, like, okay, because I try to write so much material. I'm always coming up with new stuff and whatever. So I'd love to have – I headline once a month at Morty's or once a quarter, and it sells out, and that's what pays all my bills, and I don't have to worry about it. And then I'd love to have enough money at Morty's that I don't care. Like, I'd love to have us to build a thing at Morty's where enough people came all the time that I never had to hire anybody I didn't like or I didn't think was amazing. And I could bring in amazing comics no one's ever heard of, but they just trust Morty's and they know they're going to be awesome. You know what I mean? So, like, and I would just bring in people that are fun and party and have a good time and not have to, because I mean, I have to book so many guys that are famous, but no offense, but they don't drink and they're not fun. And it's like, ugh, you know, it's like a lost weekend for me. I'd rather just bring in, you know, Chad Daniels and these guys that are fun and have a good time and whatever is my goal. That's my goal.
But can you imagine? I mean, that's exactly the kind of fame, you know, yeah, that I sort of kind of have, and I have trouble talking about me. But, I mean, can you imagine, like, a Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks or anybody else named Tom or Clooney?
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
Brad Pitt, those guys, I mean, yeah, it's just a whole level of – you can't go anywhere. I mean, and we've seen that a little bit with McAfee. When I hang out with McAfee, he's got about he's good at it, but he has about a 15 to 20 minute window.
McAfee's the best at it that I've seen.
Yeah, he's the best. He's best at being famous of anybody I've ever met. But he's got a 15 or 20 minute window where, like, he's cool for like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Right. People are cool with him. Then somebody comes and takes a picture, which is awesome. He loves it.
Right.
And then another person takes a picture, and another person, and eventually it's like, you ever go to you ever feed the fish at one of those shitty amusement parks where they're like those dumb fish are all jumping all over each other? That's what it's like. It's like rah, 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 and then we have to leave, and it's like, okay, we'll see it then. And then you go to the next bar, and you're cool there for about a half hour. Yeah. You know, or at the track when he's driving around from tailgate to tailgate. And so, but yeah, I can't imagine being that, like, but then he can go to Myrtle Beach and no one knows who he is.
Wears a ball cap, he's fun.
And so, and I think eventually Pat will be big in the whole country too. I think with this Barstool thing, he's really going to become a celebrity for real. But I mean, not just in Indiana, but for the whole United States. But I'm not sure that's what I'm looking for. I mean, I would love to have, you know, just some Indianapolis cachet and whatever. So, but I do feel like, I mean, if you're asking me the other question you were about mentoring younger comics, you know, that's I do that a lot. That's one of the things I really like to do. Now, I wouldn't put Fibs in that category. I think he's past that. I mean,
he's a seasoned vet.
But he knows what he's doing.
The fame thing, real quick. The one thing that Indianapolis famous, and I, you know, where was I? Oh, in the Kroger, and I have this thing that I always say now, and that people seem to like it. That, are you Chick McGee? And I go, if I'm not, I'm wearing his underwear, you know. And ha ha ha. So, but no, I was with the comedy tour, and the Bob and Tom show's on, you know, across the country and on radio stations, and I was somewhere in Idaho, and we were doing a show. I think it must have been Boise, and oh, by the way, it is Boise, it's not Boise. There's no Z in Boise. It's a sis.
Okay.
And if you say Boise from someone from Boise, they take exception to it. And I would too. You know, that's not the name. So anyway, I'm in like a convenience store, and I catch out of the corner of my eye somebody sneaking to take a picture of me while I'm standing in line to pay for my soda pop and my egg salad sandwich and my tuna salad sandwich. So I can't imagine on a national scale like that. Are you kidding me? I don't get it. Mm-mm, anyway.
Yeah. I was talking to Screech once. I worked with Screech once. And
Screech is like
– and he's not bad at – he's not going to be famous. But he said – he goes, what sucks is, like, I'll go to Disneyland with my family.
Right.
And people come up. They want a picture. And so I'll do that 100 times. And then it's been 45 minutes. And now I have to leave. And the 101st person thinks I'm an asshole.
Right.
Right.
Because I didn't give them a picture. Well, like, there's – 45,000 people at Disneyland. I can't, or 100, however many there are at Disneyland every day. And so that's part of the problem. And then two, and I've seen this with some famous people where, like, there was some, I spoke one time with some guys that were on The Real World.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
Again, it's not a big deal, but
right.
but like, we're in a Cheesecake Factory in Columbus, Ohio, and this lady comes up and she's like, are you MJ from The Real World? He was like, yeah. She's like, oh, can I get your autograph? And he did whatever. And then people heard that famous people were in the restaurant. All they didn't know who any of these people were.
Right.
But now they had to give, like, take pic. Oh, my son watches MTV. He'll love you. Oh, God, your son doesn't know who this guy is. And he knows. He's like, your son doesn't know who I am. But he's now he's got to take a picture with this lady. Because she heard he was on TV one time. So I can't even imagine if you're actually George Clooney, what it would be.
Oh, my God.
You've seen those viral videos where they hire security to follow someone around, and then they hire a photographer just to take pictures, and then people just flock them and start – and they're nobody.
Yeah, they're just a –
yeah, well, just some guy.
We used to play a game in college all the time. We called it Superstar, where we'd go to the bar, and one of us would sit at the bar, and the rest of us would start a rumor around Dill Street that was the drummer from Pearl Jam.
That's great.
We've had that discussion on the big show every now and then. It's like you need to – if you're going to pretend like you're somebody, you have to pick wisely, because if it's somebody too famous, somebody will be on to you.
Right.
Because there was a kid walking around – I saw this news story a couple weeks ago. He was masquerading as the youngest child from Family Ties.
Oh,
the
Skippy?
Little kid with the blonde. No, he was actually a Keaton. It was the gotcha. Alex's. I think his name's Brian Bonsall or something. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I remember that kid.
You know, blonde hair, the bowl cut. It was a cute little fucker. But I guess this guy was telling everybody that's who he was, and he got away with it for a while. Like, but he had kind of the same tattoos that this guy has from Family Ties now and everything. So
yeah, now Google makes it so hard to lie about
with
that.
Cell phones now. But back in the day, like it was so funny because we'd take turns doing this. And because
what is it, Superstar?
We call it Superstar. The drummer from Pearl Jam is, because everyone loves Pearl at the time, loved Pearl Jam, but no one knew what anybody looked like, and you couldn't Google them, right? And it would inevitably be you're driving back with this girl. And she's like, wait, you live on campus?
Oh, that's the best.
Like we're not taking her to a hotel. We're taking her back to our house. So
I just thought of the first segment of, hey, do you have a theory on autographs?
Okay. Do I have a theory on autographs?
Yeah.
In what way?
I don't know. In my mind, like, what's the point of getting an autograph?
Well,
really?
I mean, autograph was the original selfie. I mean, now you get a selfie with somebody. I don't think people do I don't think we're going to have – I mean, there's autograph signings where they still have like memorabilia stuff. But I like memorabilia. Like, we have people sign our posters at Morty's and stuff because I think it's cool to like
– right.
It just means I interacted with this person because they didn't have cameras back in the day. So it was like if Babe Ruth signed your baseball, that proved that you met Babe Ruth.
There you go, kid.
Just seeing someone in public and going, can you sign this whatever? You know, because you probably don't have their album in your hand, you know, a Pearl Jam or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
It just seems like such a weird thing.
Sign this tit.
I think it is kind of an odd thing, but again, back in the day when your signature was everything, it was proof that you met them.
Yeah.
So
have you
like,
ever signed a tit or anything like that?
Yeah, I've signed some tits.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I haven't in probably – I kind of tried to stop actually because it started to get a little weird at some points.
Yeah,
but,
That's a Chick McGee problem. God damn it. I had to quit signing these goddamn titties. I just go – ladies, just fucking – I want to just buy milk and a tuna fish sandwich. I don't need to see signing titties in a VP in Idaho.
The funniest word? I submit the funniest curse word, and it's not even a curse word. The funniest dirty word's titty. It's got to be.
Oh, titty's a great word.
Don't you think?
Titty's a good word.
Oh, yeah. It's a funny word.
I mean, pussy's close, but titties.
Titty's pretty good.
So when you would sign it, Chick, would you hold it up a bit?
Well, that's
is it a two-hand operation?
No, and then you got to go – well, a long time ago when we take the comedy tour out, my thing is – and I can still do it, but I don't do it anymore because somebody – they threatened – well, they didn't threaten, but they implied that they just might sue me – is that I could – and I still can. This is no brag, just fact. I can unhook a bra in less than like 5 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm better with my left hand than I am – and I'm right-handed. I'm better with my left hand. And but after a show, a girl would come up and go, hey, can you sign my titty? And
yes.
I'd say, yeah. And she goes, well, unhook my bra first and all this, you know. And then it's like, okay. And then she like mushes up against you. And then it's, okay, hang on a second. And I didn't realize I was this way until one night. I forget where we were, but we're out at the merch table and we're, you know, signing and laughing and talking. Hey, can we have your picture? So this girl came up and we're getting our pictures taken. I was on one side and another comedian. It might have been Han. I'm not sure. And she reaches back and turns out she grabbed Han's ass at the same time she grabbed my ass. But I was like immediately like, I felt I mean, you don't think that a guy would feel
sure
like that was an intrusion or you're violated or it would be like, okay, she grabbed my butt. But it was kind of a little bit of anger. And it's like, right. what the hell are you doing?
Was she unattractive or was she attractive?
Yeah, that was a big problem. And no, I mean, she was, you know.
I'm being serious. I mean, on some level, like, because that's the problem sometimes, too, is after a show.
I think so.
It's never the really pretty girl that comes up and is like, oh, my God, you were great. It's always the, you were fucking amazing. It's like, oh, my God.
I tell you what, we'd like getting a three-way with you and my husband. You come on back. Oh.
He's over in the corner.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. No,
have you ever signed a baby?
You know what, Vibs? Have I introduced you to my Chick McGee? It's the 2025 Chick McGee model, Jeff Vibbert. No, that's I've never signed a baby. I'm trying to think of the weirdest thing I've signed. Man, license plates. I don't know. Is that weird?
No.
Hats, T-shirts. Yeah. That's kind of a trick to signing a T-shirt.
Yeah, you got
to
hold it top. Yeah, I sign a lot of T-shirts when I speak at schools.
I do it loose. I'm better with the T-shirt loose. Yeah.
Holding it top is the same way you sign a titty as well.
Titty.
Yeah, I've signed a few. I only have signed a couple titties. And then, you know.
So wait a minute. Where'd you grow up again? Central Ohio or here in Indiana?
I moved to Richmond, Indiana in fourth grade. So I lived near Dayton and Enon until fourth grade.
Okay, you were born in Springfield.
Yeah.
What's the name of that hospital? Springfield.
I think it's just Springfield North or Springfield Community Hospital. I don't remember exactly. But I born in 73, and then I moved to to Richmond in 84.
Okay.
I went to Ball State, and then I moved to Indianapolis in 96. So I've been here for 21 years now.
So you consider yourself a Hoosier or a
Buckeye? Oh, no, a Hoosier for sure. Yeah, now, Hoosier. I'm still a Bengals fan, so that stuck because we didn't have the Colts. The Colts weren't here when I started watching football.
Yeah.
I will never forget the talk you and I had after a year ago's playoffs.
Yeah.
Bengals, they make the playoffs most years. They didn't this year.
Yeah.
But last year when they did, you know, I'm talking to him, knowing he's a Bengals fan. So what do you think? He goes, oh, they'll lose. They'll find a way to lose.
Oh,
that was the game against Pittsburgh.
Steeler game.
And so, you know, before it all kind of started crumbling, I'm like, I had a text ready to go. I'm like, Bowers, da da da. And I'll be damned if they didn't find a way to lose.
You know what? I think, and
they
this is just
got
my
screwed,
opinion,
but.
I think, I don't know, but you, Bowers did the same thing with me. He did with the entire team. He did the same thing about my opinion with Vontaze Burfict. He's like, yeah, he's what would they call that?
Head case?
He's a gritty, he's a hard football playing guy. Yeah, then he's kind of, but as Bauer said, any of the other 31 teams would pick him up in a minute. I mean, he'd be a free agent for about a half hour.
Oh, yeah.
If that long.
No, he's a beast. I mean, and what's funny is, so I didn't watch the second half of that playoff game. Right?
Yeah,
the first half was so terrible.
Yep.
But Mike and Joe, who's my favorite band of all time, they're cover band. They play everything. They're awesome. They're actually playing my birthday this year at Morty's June 30th, Friday night.
Oh,
come
nice.
Out. It's going to be a blast. I have not been to your birthday party. This is my year. Oh, did you?
Yeah, I was there.
It's my year.
I party down.
Friday we're doing the band. We're doing one show in the band, and then Saturday we're doing after the second show. We're having the beer pong tournament. Last year we had 52 teams in the beer pong tournament.
Oh my god!
So yeah.
Well, here's in praise of Bauer's birthday, if that's the way you want to look at it. I was involved in a automobile accident.
Yeah, after a golf tournament.
in connection with Bauer's birthday party.
Yeah.
One of the most terrifying days of my life. Yeah. I remember who's saying that. Okay. So there you go.
So anyway, I did not. Mike and Joe was playing at the Vogue, and my best friend from college, Phil, they moved to Chicago.
What
so
kind of music do Mike and Joe
they play?
Everything.
Yeah, they play Bodines. They just play everything.
Oh, I love the Bodines.
Yeah, they're really. And he's a mimic. They sound like everybody.
Hurt by Love, great song.
They play Dave Matthews. They play Simon and Garfunkel. They play everybody. They're just awesome. And they play current stuff too, and whatever. But anyway. So they were playing, and all my friends, like I had this group of friends for like 20 years that we all just hung out and partied. And then like the last 5 or 6 years, they've gotten married and had kids and whatever. So then they moved away, a couple of them. But we were all back in town. So I was like, I'm not going to miss Mike and Joe for this stupid Bengals game. So I went. And Jay, you were not alone in that like everybody like was texting me with like
– I didn't.
I appreciate that because like people go, dude, they won. Is the game over? No, but there's 8 seconds left and they have the ball on another 10 yard. Is the game over? Well, no, but they're going to shut the fuck up until the game's over. Because oh, I'm a Bengals fan. You are not a Bengals fan. You have no idea. Yeah. And then literally they all come and go, yeah, so
dude, the
guy fumbled and then Vontaze Burfict punched a coach and they got a
field. Yeah, it was like a 30-yard penalty and they got a field goal.
Oh, God, it was the worst.
I felt horrible.
Yeah, but I got so many texts from people, Bengals, bro, they did it! Because, you know, and a lot of things that had to go wrong for that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, yeah, that's what it's like to be a Bengals fan. It's,
man. I couldn't believe it. Find a way to lose.
But, again, we go to the playoffs. It's entertainment, man. I don't care that much. I mean, nobody gets to win but the Patriots anyway, so who gives a shit?
Speaking of the Patriots, let's hear from the Patriots fan, Jeff Fibbert. Jeff?
I feel that way, but the exact opposite. We find a way to win.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the NFL, the reason their numbers are down is because the Patriots are so much better than everybody else that it's not even fun. So I think what they should do is you get to keep Belichick and you get to keep Brady, right? But then we do a reverse expansion draft, and every other team gets one Patriot. Right, we get and I guarantee you, if we took 31 players off the Patriots and put them on the other teams, they'd still win their division, but they might not go to the Super Bowl.
Half their team from the Super Bowl in 2014 was gone in 2016.
It's crazy.
So
it's crazy.
Yeah, Belichick just finds players to plug in there. And
well, that's the thing, and you know how the NFL is such a copycat league, and you know that this is working with this team, and then they try. I don't know why, in God's name, more teams aren't.
Well,
copycatting Bill Belichick and the way he runs his team and yada, yada, yada.
Well, I mean, I think what it is, McAfee interviewed Gary Brackett for that two stools, two beer thing for Barstool.
Okay.
And Brackett was just saying, no, he just doesn't have any tendencies. Like, he just is always doing something different than you thought he was going to do. Like, for the Bengals, it's like, okay, we got to run the ball. About LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount, right? Is either the greatest running back in the league or doesn't get any carries, depending on what game you're watching.
Right.
It's fucking ridiculous. Like, well, you don't draft any fantasy players.
Well, who was the guy last season? Well, I think when the Colts played, the guy ran for 4 touchdowns. Never heard of him again.
And they cut him? Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah.
They cut him like 3 weeks later.
The white guy that won the Super Bowl.
No,
right?
The kid.
Jonas Gray.
Yeah.
Jonas Gray.
Yeah.
The kid that scored the 3 touchdowns in the Super Bowl. Brady wanted to give him his truck. James White.
Oh, James White. And Wisconsin. White.
We might not even see him next year.
Right. And that's what I'm saying.
Because
there's no predictability. I mean, there's a chance that, like, one game he'll just hand it off every time. Like, oh, yeah. Shit, I don't even throw it this game.
You just got to go for the game plan.
Yeah, so that's what it comes down to is that he's just so unpredictable, where everybody else has tendencies and you can watch film. I'm thinking you just because you can watch film all day and then all of a sudden he doesn't have linebackers this game. Like, oh, wow, what the hell? That's crazy.
He's got 8 defensive backs in there.
Well, no, the Patriots are running the 8 defensive backs.
They honestly do that a lot. Where they put in, like, 4 safeties and
– It's all about speed getting to the ball.
My favorite thing ever is and I'll give him props for this, is that Collins kid who was their best defensive player.
Jamie Collins.
Their best defensive player is a beast. He says, I want more money. And Belichick goes, fuck you, I'm trading you to Cleveland.
Yeah, I'll fix your fucking wagon.
We did a podcast that day. Jeff lost his mind.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, we traded the best. You know, and
I have faith in, like, I'm like, all right, Belichick did it once. But it was insane. I didn't see that happening. No one saw it happening.
No, of course
Jamie
not.
Collins.
And they didn't need him.
Jamie Collins could be the best athlete in the National Football League.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
And he pipes up one thing. Maybe if you guys would give me more money, that'd be cool. Nope.
And it broke my heart because I wanted the Redskins to pick him up because he was going to be a free agent. And now I thought, what kind of an idiot would stay with the Browns? And he just signed another fucking contract.
Hugh Jackson's a good
coach.
So now
the Redskins can't get a hold of him.
Hugh Jackson's a good coach. I like Hugh Jackson. He was a Bengals coordinator. So
I think he was at the Redskins for a little bit. All hurt by love, ladies and gentlemen, the Bodines. Real quick, I want to tell you about TrueCar here on the Chick McGee Show. TrueCar.com. When you are looking to buy a car and you want to make sure that you're getting real pricing on actual inventory, go online and go to TrueCar.com. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car that you want. It's not pricing offered by TrueCar, then you're not getting the real price. Just ask anybody who's experienced the wonderfulness of TrueCar.com. Next time you purchase a car, go to TrueCar.com. They will show you what other people in your area paid for the same car you're looking for. And now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. You're not standing in your driveway going, what'd you pay for the 2018 5-speed Vibert? Well, I paid $89 for that. Oh, I only paid $29 for mine. What were you thinking?
$29,000?
A deal on Vibberts.
You got screwed on buying your Vibbert. Not with TrueCar.com. You work directly with a TrueCar certified dealer. Over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers across the country. Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar, the TCDN, the TrueCar certified dealer network. Register with TrueCar.com and you'll see real price, a real price on actual inventory. It's competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for actual vehicle on the TrueCar lot. Visit now if you're looking to buy a car, TrueCar.com. Do it today. Thank you, Chris Bowers, for coming by.
I had a good time, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
And tell us about the fabulous live comedy there at Morty's this weekend. When's it start?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's me, Todd McComas, who was on a couple weeks ago, and Sean Latham. The three of us are going to do a fantastic show. We had a lot of fun last night. We're going to do some little fun games at the end and make sure each show different. And Friday and Saturday night, we're going to drink a bunch afterwards. And so,
is it going to be beer pong?
I don't probably do beer pong. No? We'll probably just do some beer chugging and hanging out and some coaster flipping maybe.
I'm friends with all three of you. And so, yes, it's coming from that. But I've seen all three of you separately, but I've never seen you all the same night. So I'm excited. I'll be there Friday night.
Yeah, we had a great time last night with the Valentine's crowd. And so, yeah, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Morty'sComedy.com for tickets.
Stack show.
It's going to be – it's three headliners, man. Yeah. That's when you know it's going to be a good show. So,
all right.
Thanks, guys.
Jeff Vibbert, JeffVibbert.com.
JeffVibbert.com.
The Jeff Vibbert on Twitter.
Yep.
The Jeff Vibbert on Instagram.
Yep.
What about you on – are you on Instagram?
Well, I don't do the Instagram yet.
Just
I'm more of a words guy than a picture guy.
What is it? Chris Bowers?
At Bowers Comedy.
At BowersComedy.com. And Hoffy is at Jason Hoffy.
And tweet me if you got Las Vegas tips.
Oh, I was going to say, last thing, a Vegas tip I thought of during the break is if you go to a topless pool, make sure you wear sunglasses.
That's smart. That's brilliant.
Come on. Come on, Bowers.
I'm just saying, I made the mistake once of going to the topless pool, and I forgot. I don't wear sunglasses because I have regular glasses, so I don't wear sunglasses.
They have topless pools?
Yeah.
And yeah, they do.
If you go to a bottomless pool, wear goggles.
And maybe your snorkel. You'll fucking drown if you don't. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Chick McGee Show. Tell your friends and fill out that survey. Will you do that for me, please? Raise your right hand and repeat after me.
I
Chick McGee.
Chick McGee.
Yeah, go to that survey. It's podcastone.com/survey, or go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner and take the survey and answer every question with the Chick McGee Show.
Free cheesy bread.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Earn 4x gas reward points during the Safeway Anniversary Sale. Look for the shelf tags for the participating items and get great anniversary prices and earn gas reward points too. This week, shop with your club card and pick up Gatorade 8-pack 20-ounce selected varieties 2 for $9 plus CRV. And Lay's potato chips 7.75 to 8 ounces 2 for $5. Maximum gas reward at participating Chevron or Texaco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. See complete details at Safeway.com.
Virginia buries its dead. I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe is talking about President Trump's response to the violence in Charlottesville over the weekend at a white supremacist rally.
Those remarks are dividing people. We cannot be dividing people.
Governor McAuliffe told CBS this morning he knows two of the three people who were killed that day.
I have lost three great citizens yesterday, Heather Heyer's funeral. Tomorrow we will have to put to rest Trooper Burke Bates, who had been part of my executive protection detail, and then on Saturday, Lieutenant Jay Cullen, who'd been my pilot. This breaks your heart.
Heather Heyer died when a car rammed a group of protesters. The two Virginia State Troopers were killed while monitoring the rally when their helicopter went down. Prison visitations are off at a state facility or all state facilities in Florida, where they say they have credible intelligence indicating some sort of security threat. There are no details available yet. I'm Rita Foley.